Hi, welcome back to Books and Broomsticks. I'm Chaotic Retront.
I'm Matt Hatter Plays.
Whoa, hold on.
That's Aelita in the background.
And today we are talking about Italian curses. My favorite fucking topic!
I know! Recently, it's been a very excitable topic.
I just think it's so freaking interesting. To understand Italian curses, you have to kind of understand that they're not functioning in the same way that we necessarily understand curses like hex, jinx, curse, cross in other cultures and even in kind of modern witchcraft. There are three branches that I have found and like classified. there are probably more that I don't know of, but by the way, when I say Italian, all of this information comes from anthropology sources, ethnographic sources, and sociology sources of people who did research in Italy between the 1950s to early 2010s. And the kind of references, those are the references I'm using.
I just want you to like get a master's, and I want your thesis statement to be Italian curses.
I'm considering it.
That's just what I want from you. Well, I just so desperately want you to be a master's or a PhD, a doctor
magic in Italy,
a doctor of Italian curses.
Well, and the crazy thing is there's literally like almost no information on them. I've only found a few documented instances of it, and the reason for that we'll get into. First, we have to talk about the three branches. So these are the ones, like I said, that I have found and classified. The first one is malocchio, which is an unintentional evil eye. It is always unintentional because the intentional evil eye is called something different. It's also referred to as different names depending on region, such as aficionado, the fascination, invidia, envy, or being overlooked is more Italian-American.
That is amazing. Okay, so maybe some people understand, maybe some people don't, as of lately. My minor, because I'm a big planner, is going to be in American folklore. So native folklore is my major, American folklore is my minor. And that is very telling that when you say Italian Americans have a particular Malocchio, like they have the overlook Malocchio, because that is 100% accurate when you really think about how much propaganda has been put out for individualization and the American dream.
Yep.
So the idea that being overlooked is an entire curse, whereas in everywhere else being overlooked is just kind of like a bother, is insane.
Well, and so the particular reference of being overlooked comes from Malocchio by Agata De Santis, which is a bunch of different research that she did, and literally like someone talking to someone saying my child keeps being overlooked by her friends, and so that's how you would use it in like a sentence, is like they are being overlooked would be Malocchio, they are having envy sent to them. There are other terms that are going to be different depending on, like I said, region. I didn't write all of them down, but those are kind of the three that when I say affascinare, invidia, or malocchio, people kind of understand it. Affascinare is the fascination, which would happen when someone is fascinated with something you have. Invidia, basic envy, malocchio, bad eye. The next step up for malocchio, which is unintentional evil eye, can happen to anyone. Anyone can send it, is jettatore, which is intentional evil eye. And so this is what we would classify as something like a jinx, a hex, or a crossing, depending on the method in which the practitioner uses. Some examples of this are, if you're doing a malocchio cure, there are certain things that show a female jettatore or a witch. So you'd associate the intentional evil eye with witchcraft, Which says a lot about Italian folk magic and the opinion of witchcraft. There's always a negative connotation there. However, there are some examples of jettatore where you are literally just kind of intentionally throwing the eye that I learned, and there are some other ones that are more in line with what we would consider a crossing or like a hex. And this is the area in which there is limited information. In between the intentional evil eye and the death curses, there is like not a lot. And I don't think that's accurate. I've only found two recorded spells that I would consider hexes without death.
One either of which, you're gonna have a bad day or you're gonna die. That yeah. does seem a little bit.
Well, jettatore can be very intense. You can do it very specifically too, and you can be very intentional with it. And jettatore is also kind of the term that people would use. There's another one that I'm totally forgetting. That people would use to be like like baneful magic inflicted on someone intentionally. But the two examples, one of which is like a lemon curse where you throw the pieces in their yard and it causes a plague, and one of which is like more four-way crossroads centered. But most of the curses that are recorded and that we know of are fature, which are death curses or death invoices. Examples of fature include getting human bones from a human who died badly, powdering them and feeding it to someone for 9 days. You can also take a live toad and stuff the victim's hair down its throat and put it in a bottle, and as the toad dies, so does the person die. The less intense one is having found in Italian American folklore as the book, in which take the Eucharist, take it home, wrap it in a cloth, and then wrap a string around it with knots to signify the person's life, and submerge it in water, and as the knots disappear, so does the life off of this person. The most intense ones are ones that are more like feared. Because you know that if someone's feeding you human bone meal, you're fucked. Like, in the same way that if someone takes a live toad and shoves your hair down, you're fucked. That's fucked. And the kind of idea is that you have 7 to 9 days, it's either 7 or 9, to figure it out and figure out who did it, or you're there's nothing you can do. And because it'll just kill you. So these are the three kind of areas. We have malocchio, which is just evil eye, unintentional, jettatore, which is intentional evil eye, hexes, jinxes, crossing, and then death invoices. We go from 0 to 100 real quick. And the reason that there is so much limited information on curses in Italian folk magic is because they are incredibly frowned upon. It is frowned upon to tamper with bad spirits, to bury someone's name at the crossroads, to do these things, even if there are like things that are done that may have similar effects, like putting someone in the freezer. The actual act of intentionally sending ill will is not usually done. You can do it.
That makes sense, right? Like, you don't want to punish everybody in the village, so to say. Mm-hmm. It's a very much a protective measure, you know? Hey, probably not a good idea to do it. Save it for the most heinous of individuals. Yeah. I guess I could see where that comes from. But here in 2023 land, I feel like we're overpopulated anyway. Let's go.
The cultural context within Italian folk magic is you think that this is going to be a small area. Everyone knows each other. And intentionally inflicting bad harm on your neighbor, unless that neighbor has done something to you, is going to be like frowned upon. Now,
it's like going out into the middle of the street, shooting a well-known public figure, and then being like, "What?"
The idea that behind it is you have to know what it is and how it's done to heal it. So it's this kind of thing where it's like everyone, not everyone, but a decent amount of people, especially like those who are healers, would know how to undo it. And in order to know how to undo something, you have to be familiar with the actual curse itself and what it looks like as it's happening. So I know all this because research, but also because if someone comes to me with a death curse on their head, I need to know what it looks like so I can get rid of it.
Yeah.
The goal is to not have that happen.
It also sounds a little bit, this sounds very adjacent to hagging. I don't know if you've ever heard the phrase.
I've not.
Okay. Hagging is basically this, there's a giant book about it. You can even read, I'll look it up in a second. It's basically this idea that somebody is getting cursed or they're being possessed by an evil spirit, but you have to know specifically how or who was doing it in order to stop the situation from happening anymore. Yeah. Or they have to let you go or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm. It's very much similar. I don't know if, because I know there are spells and other folk magics that's like just a general reversal of any negativity. When we do things like that, we set it up in our protection. We already have things that are protecting us against these possible outcomes. And if they happen, you could do like an exorcism. Like a folk exorcism is the way to go. To remove general, but if someone really targets you with a intentional curse, hex, or jinx, I typically start off with an evil eye cure to see who sent it, and then I can target and understand more what it actually is. Because if it's just an unintentional evil eye, I'm not going to necessarily send that back. I don't feel like it. But if I'm getting a cure, if I'm looking at this diagnosis, and I'm seeing things that in the past have been hex, like really intense hexes by witches, like really intense gossiping, and or someone just sending like a jinx or a curse, I will do that cure and then I will take it up a notch and go again. And because of this kind of opinion of curses in Italian folk magic, they're not necessarily recorded. It really is like only do it if you absolutely have to. And even then, fattore is still frowned upon. It is frowned upon to do a death invoice. The one situation that one of the ones was like, this man refused to marry her, so she put a death curse on him.
All right, bit much. Like,
I'm like, Jesus, calm down.
So just a no comment.
The examples that we are given are not necessarily justified examples in what the information I've found, but they are examples of someone who feels slighted, and instead of recognizing like, how do I get over this slight? What is the justified and correct approach? They say, I'm going all the way. Kill them.
Let's go. Murder button. Beep.
And this brings us into our topic of, should you utilize hexes, curses, etc.?
I've always been, okay, when I was younger, I was a big fan. I loved throwing curses. It was my introductory course into witchcraft and to being a practitioner. I learned very, very quickly it's an exhaustive effort and not worth it to do to meaningless purposes. Mm-hmm. Plus, I feel like if you're going to use this kind of intense, like, magic, right? You are trying to kill somebody. That is like one of your attempts, or you are trying to maim that person. Mm-hmm. You have to feel really strongly in order for that to do anything. It was one of the things that was really well recorded as far as like, remember that guy who was like, oh, curses don't exist. I will say that they do. If one of you can curse me, blah, blah, blah. Well, the reason nobody could curse him is because nobody felt that strongly about this guy. Nobody cared. So if you're going to utilize a curse, you have to have an intense feeling and intense emotion about it.
It's why I think Malocchio and Jettatore are so interesting, because they all come from this, from what you feel. A feeling of envy, a feeling of jealousy, a feeling of hatred. And the more intense that is, the more intense the spell can get. An unintentional Malocchio could very easily be someone just saw your Instagram and was like, stupid bitch, and moved on and didn't think about it. And that could be enough if they were like really jealous and a very jealous person. In the same way that intentional evil eye, if someone really slighted you and you really were like, fuck this person, they're fucking with my life, I want them out and I want them crossed, that will help. The only time, I mean, I personally cannot think of a situation in which I would utilize a fattore, like, personally, you know, at this moment.
Yeah, I don't think I would get close enough to any of the people that I would be willing to do it to. That's my thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, either A, you have to have an intense feeling, or B, if you have those intense feelings, you have to be close enough to do it.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, is with these curses, a lot of them rely on sympathetic magic, but at the same time, a lot of the more intense ones, you need to be near that person. You need to actually get something from them. And I genuinely think that if you're going all out, you're going there, you need to do it the right way. You can't substitute things because it's not going to work. Like, if you, with the toad and the hare, you could use a dead animal and put, like, their name in it, but it's already dead, so the entire sympathetic magic ritual is done. Like, these things that, and so that's my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, for instance, living things inside you curse, mm-hmm. it's a old, like, conjure curse. It doesn't work if you can't feed the person the dead bugs or the living bugs. You doesn't work. Yeah. So could I imagine sitting there hating somebody that much and then wanting to spend enough time to do this? Or even what you were saying, feeding somebody for 9 days the bones of the dead. Why would I want to spend 9 days with this individual? How much hatred do I really have to harness?
Yeah.
To be able to put up with 9 days?
In the words of the Death Witch, is it going to matter in 5 years? If not, it's not justified.
Not worth it.
And even then, when we talk about like curses, and when the Death Witch, when Lou talks about curses, she's like, that is like a year long thing, doing workings every day. It is the most intense thing you can do, which is why I do not think curses are as common as people think. I'm like, okay, if you really are being cursed, who the fuck did you, what did you do to get this person to hate you that much? That they are willing to spend a year and a day, 9 days, really just working on you. And in other folk magics, and I think there is an opinion too, that like, we wouldn't need, or we could use substitutions in like some of these. One of which is like, instead of human bones, you can use animal bones of an animal that died badly.
Okay, sure.
But still, you have to feed it to the person. And you you could make a poppet and feed it to them. And I don't think people understand is like, okay, you can throw an evil eye, you can throw a jinx, you can throw a crossing, you can throw a hex, all from afar, and just kind of throw something bad in their way or make something go wrong in their life, or for a crossing, make it go wrong for longer. But, and this is obviously in the example of, Italian folk magic and these particular types of curses, these are all geared at death. You are killing someone, and if you would not kill them in real life, you should not do this spell. It doesn't matter that it's magical, because that's the thing, is I'm like, unless you really want this person dead, do not do this.
Yeah,
it's just not make them stub their toe, because in order to do this, you need to get close to them. And that's a whole other thing, because if it's someone big...
I've even had mentors in the past give me kind of a way to really gear what I would do to somebody else, right? Would you double it and do it to them? And the reason I say that, right? Would I double, would I murder somebody and then curse their grave? Would I do that? Then if that's the answer, if the answer is yes, then I can do a death. I can do a death curse. Am I willing to, you know, break their leg? If the answer is yes, then I can go ahead and do like a stub your toe curse. Mm-hmm. Because then I have the feeling. I have the emotion. It's burning in there enough to do more than what I'm trying to do with my curse. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't bring the energy, you don't get it.
Yep.
You're trying to bring one AA battery to a three AAA battery, you know, fight. It doesn't work like that. It's not going to make anything happen.
And I mean, this is also, I also consider these different from justice workings. Or heck, I think that they're justified hexes, curses, jinxes.
I'm going to argue with you about it.
Ooh, I would like an argument. Let's do it.
I think that justice is just a different pure emotion. You're not willing to bring that person to the certain type of justice, then you should not do that justice work. If you are not willing to put somebody on death row for something that they've done, your justice work is not going to be for a long time in prison.
Mm-hmm.
I never fall to the threefold, but I do fall to an emotional battery, an emotional energy level. You have to be able to double the amount of energy that you're putting in, or you have to be bringing double the amount of emotion into whatever you're trying to do.
I think that that's really interesting too, because when I spin it to spells to help or protect, I always bring double that energy. I want this so fucking bad. I need this. This is a situation in which if I could do this for this person in real life, if I had the financial means to get them this money, I would do it. And that's kind of, it's also like, ask the question that, you know, Lou asks in her classes, what is justified?
Exactly. It doesn't matter what magic it is. You have to be willing to bring double the energy to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that we can go into a whole separate episode about it. But when it comes to any working, if I need a job and I am not at the point of where, like, if I'm doing a simple spell like, oh, I don't need a spell. I don't need a job, but I would like a new job. Obviously, nothing's going to happen. But if I bring my emotional standing to, I am in desperate need of any kind of work,
mm-hmm.
then obviously a job is going to pop up because I have brought the energy that needed to be there, the desperation to actually get that income.
Mm-hmm.
Love, if I am... Sorry, it just distracted me a little. I desperately love this person. I desperately am infatuated with them. Then obviously, when they have a little bit of a crush on you, it's going to feel bad because that's not what you were hoping to bring, but you brought double the energy. Mm-hmm. You got double the energy in and it gave you what it could. So no matter what it is, even if it lets you down, you have to bring more than enough of the vibe to whatever you're doing.
Bring the vibe.
Bring the vibe.
Final thoughts.
We're going to get so much shit for telling people, you know, death curses are only as powerful as the amount of work you're willing to put in.
I think that's all spell work. I honestly, like, how much work are you willing to put in? And this is the same idea as candles as batteries. Are you willing to put the energy not just behind the working, but behind actually doing something in real life?
Mm-hmm. Which
in the case of Fatore would be going out and collecting really fucking heinous materials. Really terrible things. Like, you gotta source a toad. You gotta get someone's hair. It's so intense. And even if you do substitutions and do it a little less intense, you still are getting really heinous shit. You are still planning this. And, like, it... Same thing. Thanks for listening to our podcast this week. This has been Books and Broomsticks. I'm Chaotic Witchwomp.
I'm at her place.
We'll talk to you guys next week.